Hello and welcome to this podcast is rigged with JW Riggs. I'm your host, JW Riggs. I have a great guest today, a returning guest, Chris Palmieri, who you guys probably remember him from an episode a couple of months ago, or also you've probably seen his awesome TikToks. So how are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Happy to be back.
Thank you for coming on. So this is a really cool episode that I've thought about doing this for a while. Different from other episodes, kind of. I want to talk about Muppet history today. And I mean, you love puppets just like I do. So, well, actually more than I do. So.
We might love puppets just as much, I think.
Maybe. Especially if y'all are watching the video version. I'm wearing an Elmo onesie. So.
I wish I had an Elmo onesie. I feel like I'm underdressed.
Kind of terrifying at times, but. The Elmo onesie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's go ahead and jump into this. So, for those of you that don't know about the Muppets, Muppets started with Jim Henson and the Sam and Friends show, and that's how Kermit became a thing.
So, yeah.
If you kind of want to dive more into that, we can.
I definitely, I mean, that show was pretty amazing, and you know, what some of the listeners may not know is that I got my start in puppetry after seeing the Jim Henson exhibit at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria in Queens, and seeing the history of Henson's work and how the puppets operated in more detail, the way that that exhibit shows, was what made me want to get into puppetry. And so you think about there were puppets on TV before, there were marionettes, and there were even hand puppets with the moving mouth in the same way. But I think that Henson really, you know, he kind of took things about puppetry and sort of perfected them for television in terms of realizing that you don't need to have a puppet theater on screen. The screen is the theater. You know, we don't have to have any other wall visible to hide the puppeteer because the screen does that. And then of course, realizing that the most important kind of two elements of a puppet are the eyes, creating that sense of focus in those simple eyes, and then the mouth opening and closing on each syllable and making sure the lip sync is fairly close. And that's what really sells the idea that this puppet is alive and talking to you.
Right. That's pretty cool. I mean, Jim Henson, like all his work, Fraggle Rock, anything like that, just kind of always reached out to me when I was younger, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah, same. What are some of your favorite? Do you remember any like favorite sketches from Sam and Friends that you've looked up on YouTube?
I don't really remember too many, but what I actually remember more from his early work is some of the commercials that he did for the coffee company.
Yeah. Wilkins Coffee was great.
So I think Kermit almost shot somebody or something in one of them or something like that.
Yeah, well, they used to say, I remember seeing something where they talked about how every one of the old Muppet sketches, whether it was Sam and Friends or the commercials or any other early TV stuff, every gag ended with someone exploding or someone getting eaten. So, you know, that's a fun, it kind of just shows you that you want to go out with a bang. And what's really funny too, thinking about TikTok, you know, we're all making these 15-second videos. But if you go back and look at these little TV spots, some of them were like 10 or 15 seconds. If you go look up the Wilkins coffee ads, they were like 10, 15 seconds.
They weren't like 2-minute ads full of stuff that we honestly like Arby's ads and stuff like that. Those are too long now. People can pay more attention to the 15-second ads. So.
Yeah, I think it's something interesting about just you get in, you make a joke, you make your point, and then you're out and you make it with a bang. And you can see that some of that in the old Sesame Street, which used to be very much like popcorn ideas. You know, they literally thought, well, what if we, you know, to skip around, we're skipping around the timeline a little bit, but they talked about what if we use TV to teach children and we can use the technology behind grabbing a people's attention. And so they shot educational skits like commercials. They were short, punchy, you know, funny. They maybe had some reference to some kind of pop culture or a celebrity in there or just some simple joke. And then they made their point and they got out of there.
Probably one of my favorite Sesame Street skits is probably the Monster in the Mirror.
Oh, that's a great one.
So that one, and then I was actually watching bloopers of one. Of course, this doesn't it. It I think it was in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, maybe after Jim died. But Robin Williams was on the show, and like, I don't know if you've seen this blooper, but there's one where he hands Elmo something. Elmo calls him the wrong name, so he takes it back, and Elmo just kind of falls through the hole. So it's funny. But
that is really funny.
So yeah, just stuff like that. I love watching bloopers and stuff of Muppets. And
oh yeah, it's really funny when sometimes on Puppet Bloopers they'll stay in character, you know, and the character will keep acting, but then other times they just kind of go like, they just sort of like fall backwards and out of the frame.
I guess they couldn't really do that with Big Bird.
Yeah, Big Bird, you just got to go sit down somewhere and take the suit off. I think there was a blooper I saw where Carol like ran into something just because he didn't realize there was like a piece of furniture there. And he ran into it. He's like, oh, okay, that's there. And it's just funny how, you know, people really, with this art form, you feel like those eyes see things. You know, we're such an eye focused creature. And I think, you know, Jim Henson and his people really knew that and tapped into that, because when you see a puppet suddenly bump into something or seem to not be able to see, you're like, wait, what's wrong? Why is this puppet look blind all of a sudden? And it's because they really can't see. It's an illusion. It's a magic trick.
Right. I know this is a little different than what I said we were going to do, but why don't you name some of your favorite Muppets and like maybe a few of your favorite skits?
Sure. Well, on Sesame, I really loved, there's this great one that went viral on YouTube way after the fact. And it was with this little girl talking to Kermit doing the ABCs, and she kept saying Cookie Monster instead of a letter. And that was really cute. And I just love, I love the format that they kind of hit upon of a puppet just improvising with a kid about a topic, or it doesn't have to even be a kid. Like it could be, you know, it's fun if it's a celebrity or somebody, and you just have, it just works really well to just have them kind of have this little conversation. There's actually a little short Muppet series that they put up on Disney Plus. It wasn't for Disney Plus. I think it was for like YouTube or something originally, but they put it up there, and it's just these short form segments with kids, and they're really delightful.
I remember that. It was my 4-year-old niece watches that. I just cannot remember the name of it.
Yeah, I forget it too. Muppet Moments, maybe?
I think it is.
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Muppet Shorts. I don't know. But that's a really fun thing. And then in terms of, I mean, old school sketches, I was just watching some old Muppets maybe a few weeks ago, and pretty much anything. I mean, I just love the aesthetic, and I love the energy that was behind the older stuff. And I think the new stuff today is great too, but I think there was just a chaos and a freshness and an irreverence that the older stuff had that, you know, is difficult to recapture.
Right. Like now something cool that some of you might not have known, Kermit the Frog actually was not going to be the host of the Muppet Show originally. Can't remember the name of the character that was going to be the host, but Kermit was just kind of a side piece in the show. And then,
And for a while, Rolf was really Jim's main character in a lot of ways, because they did the Purina dog chow campaign where he was doing a lot of that. And then that puppet was invited onto the Jimmy Dean show for all these late night appearances. So all of a sudden you've got it where Rolf, who became more of a supporting character, was the lead, and he got shifted over, and then Kermit became the lead, like you said.
Right. But I don't know, Kermit and Ralph always just kind of, I mean, with Kermit, I don't know, just his sense of humor is something. I get compared to Kermit a lot for some reason.
Yeah.
And then like Ralph, because I always love piano and just, yeah, and dogs.
Yeah, I love dogs too. Yeah, I feel like Kermit definitely had a, you know, I mean, there was definitely, it just, it's, I didn't know, obviously I was born after Jim died. But from what I've, the interviews I've seen and the behind the scenes stuff and the people that did know him that I've run into in the past, it seems like Kermit did have a lot of Jim's sort of, they filled similar roles in their respective ensembles, I guess.
Right.
Really cool.
Because something I found out like a year ago, Jim was actually brought into Sesame Street because they needed something, not just live action segments. They needed, well, not just people segments. They needed something to reach out to the kids that the kids would catch an eye on. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, and if you look, so it used to be called the Children's Television Workshop. That's what started the project. And then it became the Sesame Workshop. And that's still what it's called today. And yeah. Those puppets are such a central part of the show that it's hard to imagine Sesame Street without them, but the original concept was not Jim's. They brought Jim in to help develop it. And I know I had read that what Jim Henson really wanted was a late night comedy show. And so he was nervous to get into a children's TV show because people already thought puppets were for kids. And that's still something I think we as puppeteers struggle with today is, now I do a lot of stuff for kids, but it's not just for kids. I mean, such to the point that when Jim Henson was pitching the Muppet Show, he created a special called the Muppets Sex and Violence, just to differentiate it from Sesame Street.
Right. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but he also kind of worked with Saturday Night Live a little bit with showing some Muppet skits on there as well before the Muppet Show or around the time. Of course.
Yeah, they were, I think it was slightly before because Saturday Night Live started a few years before and they were on the first season. They had a few sketches, but I think there was just a weird, like it was two great things put together in a way that didn't work. You know what I mean? So I think it worked to kind of split them up and have SNL go the way it did. And then the Muppets go the way they did.
And the cool thing is over the years, they have done kind of like the Muppets have been on SNL a few times, like when Jason Segel hosted and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's really fun. I like that a lot. And I mean, now the Muppets are kind of their own celebrities, right? I mean, they go on to these shows as guests, the characters. And that's pretty interesting because if you think about it, it's one of the only ways you can meet a fictional character in real life. I mean, it's hard to really meet an animated character. And then obviously you can have someone come on as a live action character, you know, you can do that. I think it's really neat that puppets have that going for them.
Right. Like the Macy's Day Parade and stuff like that. You always see like Kermit or Big Bird or Elmo, usually all together. So in Oscar in the Trash Can. So.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. That float is always my favorite. I really enjoy it. I also love, in terms of just things I like, I really enjoy Big Bird and Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street. That's really fun. I love their relationship. And what's interesting is originally the gag was that no one could see Snuffy except for Big Bird, right?
Right.
But then they decide, so every time that Big Bird would go run to grab some grown-ups or some other people to come over and see Snuffy, Snuffy would be like, "Oh, I think I'm gonna get going now," and just like wander away, and then he wouldn't be there. But they changed it and they made Snuffy able to be seen by everybody because they became worried that kids would think, "Oh, if I think I saw something and I tell grownups, they're not gonna believe me." And so that's one of those things where you've got the character and the humor, but you've also got this mission to educate in the best way that we can.
Right.
Which is also why Sesame Street has shifted to more long form storytelling in the last several. I mean, it's been a long time. It's been at least, I want to say it's been at least 10 years that they've been like that, but they went from that commercial vibe to like longer stories.
Right. I mean, I've been out of the Sesame Street. Well, I haven't watched too much newer Sesame Street. Of course, since I have a 4-year-old niece, I watch, luckily HBO Max is a thing and they have a lot of the old Sesame Street's on there, so we watch a lot of that. I was actually just watching a couple days ago the Hurricane episode. So
yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, that Was that the one they made in the aftermath of 9/11? Was that, or was that really about a hurricane? Because there was something they did after 9/11 where there was like a big event where, you know, a bunch of stuff got destroyed and the community had to come together. But I wasn't, I remember there being one in the aftermath of like Katrina. And then I think they also had one after 9/11.
I'm trying to remember because I know there was one on the aftermath of 9/11, but I think this might have been after Katrina because Big Bird's house got destroyed. Well, that could have been either or, but I'm not completely sure. I need to do more research on that.
I just think it's really amazing and bold that they were able to tackle those types of subjects in a way that could make it digestible for kids. Because in the end of the day, you know, you think about this with what's going on with COVID, right? Like it's a totally different thing to that it affects children in the way that it does. And I think it's really important that there are people who are trying to address these things the way that they do. That's really special.
I mean, with COVID, I mean, with the little ones, they don't necessarily, they understand what's going on, but that's because they hear what the adults are saying. So it's like a game of telephone. We hear what the news says, they hear what we say. So, and it's like they're missing school and all this stuff. So,
yeah, that's got to be incredibly difficult. I'd actually like to see, I think Sesame is shooting new things now. I'd love to see what they're putting out in terms of, you know, what, how they're addressing these issues.
I believe, sorry for interrupting, but I believe on HBO Max, they recently put out something kind of talking about COVID a little bit, maybe with Elmo or Big Bird. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool. Very nice. Very nice. Well, I'm glad they're out there doing that. I have some friends that work on the show. It seems like they're doing great work. And then, of course, you've got, you know, you had Sam and Friends and the Wilkins Coffee. You had Sesame and then SNL. And then you had The Muppet Show. Mm-hmm. And I think The Muppet Show is great. And I wonder, what do you feel? How do you feel about the more recent couple times they've done some Muppet TV stuff compared to the original Muppet Show?
The original Muppet Show was so inventive and it was kind of like a thing of its own. Yes, it was similar to other things, but it branched out there. And like it had like Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill played Luke Skywalker in an episode, and like Don DeLuise, one of my all-time favorite comedy actors, was on there. So it's just like going from that. And the new Muppet shows are okay, especially Muppets Now. I really enjoyed that, the little bit I saw. But like the Muppets on ABC from 15 or 16, I believe, that was I didn't even know it at the time since I was younger, and it was more of like, it has more of that adult kind of like Office or Parks and Rec kind of tone to it. I watch it now and it's like, okay, it's similar to The Office. I'm okay with that, but it's not like original like Muppets to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting choice. I mean, I liked a lot of that show. I really liked it when it was on, and I was sad that it was canceled. I also think that TV is a medium where, I mean, how many TV shows that we love do you go, well, the first season's not really as good. You have to get through that, and they figure out what they are. And then they have a show. And I think that's true. I think that's true of The Office. I think it's true of Parks and Rec. I think those two shows, their first seasons were not as strong as they figured out kind of the tone and who the characters were in that world. And I think I'm always disappointed that they didn't have more time with that show, especially because talking about kind of the history of puppetry on television, especially through Henson work, you have this really fascinating combination of documentary style filmmaking with TV puppetry. And usually you don't do that. You don't have these wild handheld shots because guess what happens if you dip too far? You see someone's arm. So the fact that they were able to have that sense of it being like real. And I mean, there's a shot where they like zoom across a field and they catch Kermit right in the frame. And that's such a wonderful art between the puppeteer and the camera crew and the director to get that, those shots. I was, from a technical standpoint, that show is amazing in my opinion.
Right, no, you're right about that. What I really remember from that show is when Jay Leno was on it and Fozzie Bear like stole a candy dish or something from his.
Right, right.
So yeah, I remember that. I'm gonna go back and watch that soon.
Yeah, it's definitely, I rewatched it kind of recently. I don't think I watched the whole thing, but I watched a few episodes and I really liked it. And I like Muppets Now. That's the new one on Disney Plus. That's a fun show. I'm just glad those characters are still around and doing things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really exciting. I mean, that's something amazing to think about, someone inventing a character that has lived on in the hearts and minds of people for generations.
Oh, now something I really enjoyed recently from the Jim Henson Company is Earth to Ned on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot, too. I saw some of that.
So, and plus, it had Andy Richter. So what can you not like? Andy Richter's
always great. I love when he shows up in things. Yeah, those puppets are fascinating. The one guy is like Ned, right? The main host. When I watch things, I'm always trying to figure out how they work. And it seemed like there was a performer in like a suit, with the one pair of hands. If you look it up, Earth to Ned, you'll know what we're talking about. And then maybe the face was remote control puppetry. And then there was like another puppeteer doing the other pair of hands. And it was so cool to see the coordination. I mean, you've got maybe 3, 4, 5 people making one character.
And then, like, you could just tell how they really made those characters really come to life.
Yeah, and their dynamic was really funny, and their interactions with the celebrities were really funny. And talking of multi-person puppets, you go back to things like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, where you had these puppets where 4 or 5 people are using these remote controls or these, like, mechanisms or physically operating the puppet, and that's absolutely fascinating to me.
Which I still need to go back and watch both of those movies. I've never seen them, so.
They're a lot of fun, but I also think what's really fun is what I enjoy, again, as a person who works in puppetry and is interested in it as well. There's like really cool behind the scenes documentaries about it, which show you a little bit more about how the puppets work and how the scenes were made and all that stuff, which is really fun.
There's one documentary that I watched. I don't think I was able to ever finish it, but I believe it's on the Peacock service. It's about Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird and Oscar. And
yeah, it's called I Am Big Bird, right?
But yeah, I Am Big Bird. Thank you.
That's a great movie. I like that one a lot. And Being Elmo, I think, is still on Netflix, and that's another great documentary about Kevin Clash, who played Elmo.
I believe. I was scrolling through Netflix a couple months ago. Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it still is on Netflix.
But yeah,
I think I watched that documentary probably seven, eight years ago now. So
yeah, it's quite old. It came out like right when I got into puppets. People were like, "Have you seen this movie?" And I was like, "No." So I went and saw it. It was obviously very inspiring to me, and as was I in Big Bird. I mean, Big Bird is like my favorite, really my favorite character on Sesame Street for sure.
Well, because with Big Bird, they show so much emotion and like more, sometimes more than the other characters, because yes, Big Bird's a 4-year-old, but at the same time, you see those emotions and stuff like that, especially when the episode where they said that Mr. Hooper died and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. That was really hard. That was something, when I saw the Henson exhibit, like I said, about 10 years ago, figuring out how Big Bird worked was really interesting to me, because I never even thought about the fact that Big Bird was a puppet. I don't know what I thought he was. I mean, costume, something. And I loved that you could have a puppet that completely hid the puppeteer, and then that the puppeteer, they could move through space. It would just be like you're in a world, you're in a room with Big Bird. You know, it wasn't like you have to put up a wall or hide them under the camera. I really enjoyed that. And I've had a fascination with full body puppets my whole career, and I've done quite a few of them. It's one of the types of puppets I've worked with the most.
I actually saw one of your TikToks yesterday. I believe you used one of your full body puppets. So I thought that was
cool. Yeah, I have this big, like 7-foot tall witch puppet that I built years and years ago, and I built her, and she works pretty similarly to Big Bird, and if you go to my TikTok, you'll see it. And I really enjoy her. She's a lot of fun. And actually, that was a funny, interesting case, just as a little offshoot. Early on when I was first building puppets, I built for some productions that didn't really have a lot of money to pay me. So one of the ways in which they were compensating me was I get to keep the puppets afterwards. So it's like, what the heck am I going to do with this 7 foot tall witch puppet? But I've used her for some videos, and I've done some Halloween gigs with her. So, you know, she keeps finding a way to be useful at least once in a while.
Right. And something, I don't know if you're a fan of Lego, but Lego recently announced, that I believe the end of November, maybe beginning of November, there's going to be a Lego Sesame Street set coming out.
Oh, really? That's pretty fun. I mean, I like Legos. I used to play with them a lot as a kid. I enjoyed the Lego movies. I haven't really kept up too much on Lego, but that's pretty exciting.
So it's like the characters really look like the characters. They really caught like how they look. So
wow, really? That's neat. I like to see how things translate to different mediums. Yeah.
One of those things where, like, speaking of, like, kind of getting off topic, I apologize for that, but, like, just some of the merchandise for Sesame Street and even Fraggle Rock, like, soon I'm going to get a Fraggle Rock Christmas sweater. So. Oh,
very fun. Yeah, I've got some Muppet and Sesame t-shirts. I should probably get a Fraggle one. I liked Fraggle Rock a lot growing up. I haven't watched. Are they doing new things?
I think on Apple TV Plus, I believe they're doing something new.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look into it. I haven't really kept up with it, but it sounds really fun. I know that when they opened the permanent Jim Henson exhibit a few years ago here in Astoria, or not here, I don't live in Astoria, but near me, they had a Fraggle character, they had a Muppets character, and they had a Sesame character all at the same time. And that's very rare, because the three companies that own them don't let them commingle. There was some show, I think, at Carnegie Hall years ago, but not that long ago, where it had Muppets and Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock characters in it. But the way the contracts work was, it's all the same puppeteers, remember. It's mostly the same people working on all these shows.
Right.
But they had to go put up all the Muppets, do a Muppet sketch, and then put them down, and then go over and then put up all the Sesame, and they could not be up at the same time.
That stinks, but that they couldn't all be up at the same time. But something like one of my all-time favorite Muppets anything would be the it's a Muppets Christmas special. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's like Muppets Family Christmas or something like that. It's from the late 80s, so before Jim died. But it was like, it had some Fraggle Rock, the Muppets. So what it was like, the Muppets were going to Fozzie Bear's mom's house for Christmas or something, and then the Sesame Street characters came in and they had to stay with them, and then they found the Fraggle Rock characters. So it was cool that you kind of got to see them all together.
That is really fun. Yeah, they used to do that a lot. I mean, Bert and Ernie had like a dance number in the first or second episode of the Muppet Show. They used to be able to come together a lot. And Kermit was on Sesame for a long time.
So for good grief, he was one of the first original cast members of Sesame. So sort of.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's wild how the companies, I know they wanted to put Elmo in the 2011 Muppets movie as like a cameo, and that didn't go through.
Wow. That would have been so cool.
Yeah, there was like a thing, because there's a sequence where they're asking all these different celebrities to come and like host their benefit show, and they're all turning them down. And so there was going to be a scene where the Muppets said no, where Elmo said no, but ultimately Disney and Sesame Place could not come to an agreement.
Oh, how cool would that have been? Because I think like they showed like Whoopi Goldberg or something in that part. So that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Whoopi and Elmo.
Yeah. Yeah, who, and they've met before, I know, several times. Whoopi Goldberg's been on Sesame Street like a bunch of times, and she narrated the Elmo documentary.
She did.
Yeah.
So, and something else that Elmo's always like, I know everybody gets tired of Elmo somewhat, because like he's like this big like monster of a character. Well, you know what I mean? Even though he's a monster, that's not what it's like. He's just like everywhere, especially in the early 2000s. So like I was born in 2004. So from like then to like 2008, he was huge.
But yeah,
Elmo and Grouchland was definitely a huge thing for me when I was little. I think I burned out one of the DVDs.
Oh my gosh.
Like my family absolutely, well, they're not a big fan of Elmo and Grouchland anymore, but that's my.
Yeah. They've seen it too many times. I had some tapes like that. When I was growing up, we were watching VHS tapes and it was like, you just rewind them and watch them again and again. And I had some, I don't remember which ones they were, but there were certain movies where the end was kind of sad. Like I was sad it was over. And so my parents would have to stop the movie before the end, rewind it and just play from the beginning again. So that way I wouldn't get upset. And what's weird is I didn't really watch a lot of Sesame growing up. I watched Muppets and Fraggle Rock. I didn't watch a lot of Sesame until I got into puppetry, and then I ended up going back and watching a bunch of it.
Well, I mean, like I said before, HBO Max has like a lot of the classics, not all of it, of course, but it's starting to get a lot of the classics on there. So, I mean, that's a really cool thing. And then Fraggle Rock is on Apple TV Plus, and The Muppet Show isn't on a streaming service, sadly, but I have
it. Yeah, it's not, is it?
No,
I'm surprised they didn't put it on Disney Plus.
I think there might be some contract issues with that. So.
Yeah, because they have a bunch of the movies on there, which is fun.
They, except for like Muppets in Space and there was another one. But yeah, Muppets in Space was fun.
Fun movie, really fun. I mean, it was cool to see a little bit more of Gonzo and stuff.
That was fun. And something else I've recently gone back and watched is The Muppets Tonight. It was like a talk show, late night talk show they tried making on ABC or CBS.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I only saw a little bit of it though.
So yeah, how was it? It's okay. It's not like the best, but it's like Kermit was trying to find like a host for the show and everybody left the room and then can't remember the other puppet's name. But yeah, so, and then that guy ended up becoming the host. So it went on for a few episodes, but they tried, I think the cool thing was they tried making a sitcom out of it, but they also tried making a late night talk show. So kind of like the original Muppet Show a little bit in a way.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I really enjoy, I mean, obviously I'm a huge fan of all of it in some way or another, you know, I mean, it was a huge inspiration to me and it still is. And I'll always watch anything from Henson or the Muppets or Sesame that's new. I'll check it out at least a little bit.
Oh, one thing that I haven't watched and I don't know if I will is, can't remember the name now. Just got out of my mind. Something, Happy Time Murders. I don't think I'm going to watch that.
I mean, you know, it's definitely a very mature movie. I enjoyed it a lot. I have a bunch of friends that worked on it and, you know, I don't know if it was like the best film of the year or anything, but, it's definitely funny and entertaining. And I will say the puppetry is immaculate. It's so cool what they do. And they combine, you know, they're doing the puppet and then they added CGI legs. So it looks like they're walking on the ground and they have these people in green screen suits behind the puppet. So they get these intricate movements with all their limbs and things like that. There's some cool behind the scenes stuff at the end of the movie, which I really enjoyed because it's like people from outside of this world can just come and see it and be like, okay, yeah, funny puppets. But it's like, no, look how much work it was to get that to look the way it did. And look how many people it took and look what they had to take out. So at the very least, I would say look up, that's what I say about everything. Look up the behind the scenes because that's very interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember, honestly, I don't really hear anybody talk about that movie anymore that much. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess for me, that was the thing is I think people, they just kind of looked at it as like a Melissa McCarthy comedy, and they didn't really appreciate the technical aspect of it as much. And that's, everybody's opinion is valid, of course. It's just, for me, I got a lot of enjoyment out of the film. And I think that anyone who's a fan of puppetry would probably have something that they enjoy in it. And the most fun thing was I got to see friends of mine, they had their names, you know, on the screen at the end of the movie, which was cool.
Now that is cool. I mean, I do think that is cool that they got to work on something like that with Muppets and that like, well, and that they were on the big screen. So that's really,
yeah, cool. So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think we have a few more minutes if there's anything else that you would like to promote or talk about before we hop off.
Sure. Well, I'm happy that you had me back on here. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to you, and especially about fun stuff like this. You know, as speaking of puppets, as you mentioned, I have a TikTok and a YouTube channel and an Instagram where I do lots of really cool puppet stuff. It's all under Puppets by Paul Mary, and I'm sure you can put the links in the descriptions or whatever. But yeah, Puppets by Paul Mary. That's P-A-L-M-I-E-R-I. You'll find lots of fun puppet characters, and I try to do some fun things there. So I'd love if you came and said hi.
That'd be great. I also want to say hi to Caroline Smash. She's been on the podcast. I need to upload that episode, so I think I'm
gonna great. Yeah, Caroline's wonderful. She's a good friend.
So, well, thank you for being on the podcast, and thank you for everybody for listening.